Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris. And today we're going to go back to one of our series called Put Them in the Movies. And this will be our sixth look at a Beatle-related movie. And I have to be honest, it was one that I certainly had never heard of. And I don't think you had either. But it's called The Hours and Times. And it was from 1991. So you hadn't heard of this at all either.
I had heard that the guy who plays John Lennon, Ian Hart, when he was in Backbeat, I had heard that he'd played John Lennon before in a different thing, but I didn't really research it very much. And this is it. This is the film, short film, not exactly a full length movie. It does feel like a full movie.
Yeah.
A full experience. So, but I wanted to, right off the bat here, Dave, before we get rolling, mention where we can find this movie.
Yes.
It's not exactly, you know, with streaming and everything, it's not, you think everything is just going to be on Netflix or something. But some of these are harder to find, but findable. Now, where did you watch yours, Dave?
Yes. So you actually pointed it out to me. So the movie, as I mentioned, was from 1991. And then released in January of 92 in the U.S. And then it was redone or kind of cleaned up and remastered and re-released in 2019 and was shown for Sundance and kind of became it's an artsy film. So it was brought back for that. So the way I saw it was through Canopy, which if you have a public library card, you can get tons of really artistic type movies, documentaries, things like that through your public library. And so I was able to watch it there and that was really convenient for me, but you didn't get to do that.
No, Chicago Public Library is on a different system and they didn't have that particular thing, but I would definitely check out Canopy if you're, if you have a library card, you can pretty much watch a whole lot of stuff.
It's great. Yeah.
For free. Now, I also found it on Topic, which is one of these channels that has it, you know, there's all these little channels that have their own sort of like group of films and TV shows. It's like a Netflix-esque thing, Topic. But usually you find things like this as an addition to whatever regular service you're using. Now, I signed up for Topic just to get this. And I end up liking Topic.
There's some stuff. More stuff.
So,
well, it's interesting because we, how about a contrast? Last movie in the series was Give My Regards to Broad Street, which was you know, obviously a homegrown bomb kind of movie. And then you come to this one, which also is very low budget, I think, very, very few cast members. And, very short, as you said. It's only runs about 60 minutes. It's in black and white and kind of has this whole artistic cinema flavor to it. But I found it fascinating just for a lot of reasons I think we're going to get into, but especially for the time that it came out in 1991, pretty striking, I would say, because of what the subject is. And so,
yeah. Well, there's a thing right at the beginning, which they tell you that, hey, this is a fictitious story. It's based on regular people, but it's fictitious.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to like make sure they got their bases covered because they speculate a little bit on this famous trip, which John and Brian took to Spain back in 1963. The recent book, Craig Brown's 150 Glimpses of the Beatles, which was released last year. We mentioned it on our gifts episode. And I had just been reading this and I read chapter 26. And chapter 26 in this book goes into the differences in opinion on what may or may not have happened between Brian and John on this vacation. If they had some sort of a relationship or not in a sexual way. This movie digs into that.
Yes. And
I wanted to read just very quickly from the chapter. So did they or didn't they? The simple truth is that no one knows, but everyone thinks they know, or at least they want everyone else to think they know, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, that kind of sums it up in a way.
Yeah.
Because if you, so, yeah, so every, you know, I think everyone listening knows Brian Epstein was gay. And so then, so he and John went on this trip to Barcelona while the other three Beatles went somewhere else. And so it was just the two of them for 12 or 14 days for about 2 weeks. And and so they were, John was asked about this a bunch of times and gave different answers in typical John form. So it was at an interesting time in April 63. So Cynthia had just given birth to Julian. And so in the Playboy interviews, he talks about, here's the line. He says, "I was on holiday with Brian Epstein in Spain where rumors went around that he and I were having a love affair. Well, it was almost a love affair, but not quite. It was never consummated, but it was a pretty intense relationship." And then he talks about how he played the song Bad to Me. They were sitting at a cafe looking at the boys, and he was saying to Brian, "Do you like this one? Do you like that one?" And then earlier, and then in back in the Jan Wenner, Lennon Remembers, he says, "Sin was having a baby and the holiday was planned, but I wasn't going to break the holiday for a baby, and that's what a bastard I was. And I just went on holiday. I watched Brian picking up the boys."
My wife was like, "She just had a baby and he goes on this trip?"
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. What does that say? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then the fullest account, apparently what happened was from Pete Shotten, who was John's boyhood friend, who he tells a story that in the book John Lennon in My Life about what happened, what John apparently told him, and essentially they did have a bit of sexual interaction, and that was it. And there it was. No, John says, "So what harm did it do then, Pete?" "No harm at all. The poor bastard, he can't help the way he is." And so there's that a lot of people think that's the most accurate response, but it's kind of interesting. It's a subject that's not really talked about very much. I mean, everybody knows Brian Epstein was gay, and that this relationship happens. So I think the movie tries to, like you said, fictitiously, but it seems to hew more to the Shotten version, I would say, based on what we see.
Yeah, maybe there was a little in the film. We'll jump to the high point of the film.
Yeah.
John's taking a bath, and Brian just walks in there. and then there's a little bit of John kisses him, and then Brian takes off all of his clothes and gets into the bath with him. And then there's a little bit of not quite kissing, sort of like arm.
Yeah.
Not going for broke. Mm-hmm. And then John gets out of the bath and that's it's over. So and then he's visited by the flight attendant shortly thereafter, and we move on. So that was the extent of the activity. You know, and there's some frank talk too earlier in the film, of very, very frank and some frank talk, not just about gay sex, but about other.
Brian asks about, you know, what it's like with Cynthia, and kind of, yeah, I mean, they're very open with one another, but it's in a weird way. It's sort of like this game. They're talking in riddles and kind of, you know, they're not really getting direct sometimes.
I wanted to talk to you about that. So overall, the film, now the director is Christopher Munch.
Yeah, I think he has an umlaut, so Munch.
Munch.
Yeah, something like that.
Director, he saw this film just as a DIY exercise and didn't expect the film to secure any distribution. And he just wrote the script over a couple of weeks and then cast it. Well, I think it's like plays to me as these scenes, and it's almost always a two-person scene.
Yeah, yeah.
At one point, there's the two of them, and they're talking to the flight attendant.
Mm-hmm.
almost as like acting exercises. Like you said, the playful sort of like back and forth, almost like every character's challenging each other.
Yeah.
I think kind of goes throughout the film. Later, he, once again with the flight attendant, the flight attendants come to hang out. Maybe they're going to have sex. Maybe they aren't. They don't even tell us for real if that happened in this film. But there's some frank talk of John, and it seems to really touch into John and John's personality of being someone who's trying to get a rise out of somebody all the time, trying to shock you, trying to shake you off of your
get you out of your comfort zone kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And Brian at times budges and it does upset him. At other times it doesn't upset him. And this girl is totally unshaken by his games that he's playing with her. So I thought that that was well done because it does seem to fit. I think Ian Hart does a fantastic job.
Yes. As
John Lennon, not just in this portrayal of him as being sort of like, you know, personality wise being sort of a troublesome type of personality, but he's chewing gum all the time and he's smoking constantly. And this is glasses, John. So yeah. He's always wearing his glasses and
the hat, the beret.
And at one point he does that sort of thing you've seen John do on stage a few times where he kind of puts his mouth in a funny way and stomps a little bit and does a little John shimmy.
The mannerisms are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting because you've got that, you can break this movie into like, that's interesting the way you put it here of sort of scenes. It is kind of like little clips because you've got the beginning of the movie takes place in the plane on the way over to Barcelona. And that's when they're talking. And that's when they meet Marianne, who's the flight attendant. And then they get there. And then John.
Oh, by the way, just the very first time Brian speaks, you're like, wow, that guy got Brian's tone of voice.
Yes. Yes.
Absolute, like, dead spot on this actor. Who's the actor who played
David? David Angus is. And yes. It's the two of them. So David Angus plays Brian Epstein and Ian Hart plays John Lennon. I think the movie does show the complexity of John's personality because you've got that the games that he's playing with Brian, but then he talks to Cynthia on the phone talking about how he misses Julian, and yet, you know, here he is, he's gone, and he's a married man, but he's out playing, and you get all those contradictions in John's personality. I don't know, you also get Brian, too, because I think Brian, we know Brian was interested in what we might call rough trade men, sort of lower class people, and...
At some point, he propositions the... busboy.
Exactly.
And Miguel in a pretty crude manner and then jokes it off like right away.
Yep.
Yeah. So
then you've got that other interesting scene about them going to the gay bar with this guy who at least the impression I get is a closeted man who's married. And so they go off to a bar to have drinks but then it goes bad and
well, John invites him back to the hotel, and you think, oh, maybe there's going to be some, either he's trying to set Brian up with him, or he's maybe, you don't know, maybe he's like curious himself that they could all get into some sort of something. But then, of course, John pushes the buttons of this guy.
Yeah.
In such a way that he's like just out of there. And then Brian gets very upset and accuses the guy of being fascist.
Right.
Basically. Which I'm not sure that he was doing anything to be fascist. I think he was just like saying, oh, since he's not interested in me, he must not like Jewish men. It seemed to be the impression. It was sort of like his hurt feelings. So he found a reason that the guy was... No. The guy was definitely into John.
Yes.
Knew of the Beatles, I guess.
Yeah, he did.
Which was interesting. So, yeah, so that was an interesting little couple scenes there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think of the music that's used here, or the way, because you've got John is always playing, he never plays a guitar, you know, he plays the harmonica all the time.
Well, there's three elements. There's and they're all natural elements. They're all like individual instruments. One's a Spanish guitar.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Which is mostly towards the end of the film. At the beginning of the film is a lot of piano, and I think they're playing the Goldberg Variations.
Yeah, by Bach.
By Bach. And then Brian actually mentions the Goldberg Variations. So it sort of, I thought that tied in nicely.
Yeah.
And also sort of set up a thing where it was sort of like the Goldberg Variations and the piano playing. Also Brian talking about art and trying to like have this be sort of a cultural kind of like experience. I thought that all tied in together showed that Brian's a little bit higher class.
Mm-hmm.
John's the lower class person, so he's trying to like open John up to this the beauty of Barcelona and all this.
Yeah,
and John could really care less. They go sightseeing sort of mid film, and he's just like
doesn't care. Yeah,
I could be in Antarctica. I just wanted to spend some time with you, bro, Epi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Interesting also the ending, or just so you have this other scene too where they talk about John asks Brian about his first time to Barcelona, and by the way Brian calls his mother too, we know he was very close to his mother, and so he meets the Beatles, he was forced to see a psychiatrist, he gets John to promise, or tries to get John to promise to meet him in 10 years, no matter what they're doing. As we know, Brian would be dead in 10 years after this. And just some really, I don't know.
I think John would be on his last weekend. Probably.
Yeah, John would be on his last weekend in 1973. Exactly. Yeah. And then there's this strange dream where he's remembering looking over the roof of the family shop and kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and then we get this super grainy throwback scene from like what's supposed to probably be a couple years before or a year before when they get their friendship up. And the graininess actually kind of works to make it feel like really ancient history, Beatles history.
Even though it was only like 2 years or a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I thought all that worked pretty well. You get a sense that the two did admire each other
very much.
You get a sense. I'm not sure that John Lennon himself was as kind as this version of John Lennon, who is also very prickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he does seem to be like you said, not really putting Brian down for being gay. However, because of the times and because of you get a sense of like, oh, poor Brian.
Yeah.
Who's gay. It's true. So sad. He can't, like you said, the phrase he said, he can't help what he is, as if what he is
to be pitied. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is, I mean, but I loved it all in that it just made you think about all these things and that they really got into it about all these things. And
it was a very psychological kind of movie. Yeah. Very inner thoughts, inner questions. I think I'll ask you this, but of the four Beatles, I think John was probably the most open to potentially trying something out of his usual zone, or he was probably the most curious, maybe. So I could see why he and Brian would probably work well together, because Brian was only a few years older, but still seemed like like we've said, a very artistic, very cosmopolitan, sophisticated kind of guy. And he's got, you know, he's gay. That's also different. And so I think John finds that really interesting. So I think of the four Beatles, he was probably the, I could, I, that makes the most sense to me. Do you sort of see their relationship that way or?
Yes, I think so. I also think, I think one of the main lines in the first part, he asks, how do you want to be remembered?
Oh, yeah.
And he says that I never let the Beatles down. And then John's like, you'll never let us down.
Epi.
So it, Epi. Yeah. So it seems like John like really has a trust in Brian as a person.
Yeah.
And it's secondary to him, though maybe annoyingly interesting to him. I mean, this film's obviously he's fixated on asking him all kinds of what I would find to be if I was out in public, if people started asking me these questions, very intrusive.
Yeah, very personal.
Personal type question. Now they're close buddies. So, yeah. You know, it's you know, maybe not as intrusive. But I don't know. It seems like he had a if in the film at least, it seems like he had a great admiration and respect for Brian. But just because John has an admiration and respect for anyone doesn't mean he also won't tremendously hurt them,
trash them
at all times.
Yeah, yeah.
And say terrible things. The phone call with Cynthia.
Oh,
what do you
yeah.
Think about this? Phone call with Cynthia. He's like, leave me alone.
Yeah, he was awful, awful at first.
Yeah, he's being awful to her. He's like, you know, I'm supposed to be resting. Why are you bothering me?
Yeah.
No question about how's my child or mm-hmm. anything like that. And then she's like, I just had a baby. Can you be nice to me? And then they talk for a little bit later. And then he's like, just now I wanted to hold you.
Yeah. Then he says says what he has to. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he ends the call with, I've got to hang up. So yeah. Just like very like rough.
Rough. Mm-hmm. And so this is John Lennon 20. I mean, the timing is really fascinating too, because it's, so he's 23. It's before America, before any of that happened. There's a, I think a quote in there. Oh, do you want to go to America or something? They discuss that. And he's, oh yeah, yeah. And, but you know, it's right. The Beatles are, they know people, they're known because the flight attendant and the guy they meet both know about
Quinones
them.
Quinones or whatever.
Yeah. Quinones. Yeah. Yeah. And then the flight attendant wants a signed picture of John. So, or of the Beatles. So they're known in England, certainly, but it's just an interesting time before they were really the world sensation. And, you know, it would be hard for him to do that. I don't think he could just go take a trip with Brian Epstein the next year. Probably not possible.
Yeah, no. They're just walking casually on the...
Yeah, yeah. Just walking around.
And nobody's bothering them. And then he's like, go... Oh, did you like the line, dandies love to pose?
Yes.
calls Brian a dandy.
A dandy, yeah. But that's it does shine a light on something though, because homosexuality was not decriminalized in the UK until 1967, maybe, so officially. Mm-hmm. So you think Brian was going through all of this, you know, undercover, and even though the Beatles knew and people knew, it just, yeah, and maybe he felt freer to go to Barcelona and. It was less repressive than England, and John also was getting, it's sort of, in a way, it's both of them getting away from the frustrations of their lives, with John now being married with a child and Brian not able to be himself, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I thought probably one of the most striking scenes was towards the end of the film when John comes down from after his meeting with the flight attendant in the hotel room, and Brian had sort of cleared the room to let him either have sex with her or whatever they wanted to do. Really, all we saw was them put a Little Richard record on.
Yeah, yeah.
Which he's like, you should give this to me. Like, he's and awful. She's like, no.
No.
Why?
Yeah.
He comes down to the lobby, and Brian's been hanging out there, and then Brian tells this story about how he came to Spain the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But the striking part was what happened that led him to come to Spain was he had this, and I don't know if this is a true story from real life or not. I would expect that, or suspect that maybe it is. That he'd gotten beaten up by someone who he was gonna maybe have some sex with.
Mm-hmm.
And so since it had to come out, and the guy did get arrested, and in the court case, they fortunately didn't use his name. They used it like Mr. X or whatever. So the guy went to jail for it, but Brian had to be sent to a psychiatrist.
Yep.
And what would cure Brian's terrible ailment that he was sent to Spain to sort of like get treatment for his gayness.
Right.
So,
right.
It's just like really makes you sympathize for how, I thought the actor really played it perfectly. How sad and lonesome really Brian must have been.
I think he was. I am hoping that we'll get a real biography of Brian someday, because I think there have been some efforts so far, but not quite the big bio I think we're looking for, just to get into that. But I feel like he did use the Beatles and all of his other groups as kind of a substitute for a good personal life in some ways, and you couldn't help getting attached to them, and especially somebody like John, who's really smart and attractive and all of those things, that and lower class in a way, which is another box to check as well. But I felt like the movie did, it was a different kind of film, and not really Beatles related at all. It was really this inner dialogue between the two of them and their relationship. And it sheds light on, like I said, a event or a time that is not well understood, and does it in a very artsy way, I think.
I liked very much the choice to put it in black and white.
Yeah.
Because it sort of struck me as a tiny tip of the hat to Hard Day's Night.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. And the first time you see the flight attendant, I thought, oh, she could just be plucked right out of that movie.
Yeah.
Popped right into this movie. So it was, I thought it was really, and of course that in real life would happen a year after this mm-hmm. movie is set. So it's, if you think about it, this too is the last sort of like quiet trip probably John ever took in his entire life.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Without being Beatle John Lennon.
Swarmed. Yeah.
And swarmed. But even here, he's like gets a little fan. Like,
yeah. There's still some fan adoration. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's definitely worth a look. It's only 60 minutes, so it's not very long. And makes you think, the good acting, as we said, Ian Hart, I think he does a great job as John Lennon.
Yeah, he does. He's also absolutely fantastic in Backbeat. I'm sure we'll get to Backbeat at some point. And he's just like tremendously good in that. David Angus really, really, I don't know much of his other work. I don't think he was a widely, hugely successful actor, but wow, that's just a fantastic job in this.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to mention the mother is played by someone named Unity Grimwood. Great name.
What a name, Unity. That's a great name. Check it out if you have either you can Topic or we saw it's rent. You can rent it on iMovie or whatever the movie Apple Movies or.
Yeah.
YouTube or Canopy, which is where I saw it. If you're in the States and have a library that subscribes, you can watch it there and check out the hours and times.
And it's definitely the re-released, restored version, the Oleoscope Labs 2019 version. So it's not grainy.
No, it looks great.
It's grainy.
Yeah, but in the right way.
in the right way. And there's some definitely some bad ADR in places. There's one place where I forget what they're both stand. Everybody's standing up. Oh, I think it's when the guy is going to leave because he's like had it with John. And that whole scene seemed to the entire thing be ADR and just like poorly done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, probably.
But it is worth a watch, and it was gripping, and I don't think it had a dull moment in it.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So
now if we can only get a re-release of Backbeat. I can't even find Backbeat.
No. You can't rent it anywhere. It's you only can get VHS copies, and it's really just disappeared. So, but anyway, so check it out.
Our next episode is a small anniversary episode.
Yes,
175. So what are we doing for that episode?
So we've been taking some questions, taking audience questions, and we've gotten several so far. And so you can email us at ivegotabeatlespodcast@hotmail.com. You can post a question on our Facebook page or on Twitter and get it that way. Anything and everything about Beatles or your favorite this or that, your least favorite this or that. Why did you, I don't know, whatever, anything at all. And so we want to have your questions by March 20th, if possible.
The only question you can ask, because it's asked to me on a Twitter every single day by Barnabas, is why we haven't done the Back to the Egg.
So yes.
don't bother asking us why we haven't done Back to the Egg yet.
Yes, we're like everybody, we're waiting for the Back to the Egg McCartney archive collection. So we're not going to touch it before then. But apart from that, anything else is up for discussion. So we'd love to take some questions and dig in. So if you could send them to us by March 20th, that would be ideal. And we'll get them on the podcast because we're going to be recording it shortly thereafter.
Tiny, as we wrap things up here, bit of news is the announcement of new book, McCartney book that's going to come out, Dave.
Yes. So we have a 960-page book here. It's going to be called Paul McCartney, The Lyrics, and it'll be published on November 2nd of this year. It's described as a, quote, self-portrait in 154 songs. It'll contain lyrics for 154 songs from 1956 to the present, arranged alphabetically. Two hardcover books in an outer slipcase. Oh, an ebook edition will also be available. And it's described, this is the hype, it'll be as close to an autobiography as we may ever come for Paul. So what do you think? Are you excited here about this?
I think I am. I think I'm definitely going to get it, you know. You can't. Yeah, I. As much as sometimes I'm like, no, I'm not gonna get that. That's too pricey. I'll probably end up getting it
because it lists for $100 right now.
Yeah.
So
now, I guess already on some sites it's like less than that. So
okay.
So look around, comparison shop, and sometimes you put in these pre-orders for $100, and then it's like all of a sudden it's $70.
That's true. It drops
by the time it comes out. So but it looks like it's going to be, and I'm sure it's going to be very high quality, because most of his art, you know, the archive collections from the way that when people have actually got the archive collections, I've gotten some of the record archives collections.
Yeah.
You can see my Wings, my brand new Wings Wildlife that I
see, and Red Rose Speedway there.
Red Rose Speedway in the background there. I'm sure it'll be all of that.
Yeah.
It'll be well designed. The lettering will be fantastic. It'll be in great shape.
Yeah.
So
look for that. That's definitely a Christmas gift idea.
Yeah. So. It's going to be multiple. We'll be talking about that on our gifts episode.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But other than that, it's going to be very difficult to review because we have to read the whole thing.
Oh, so that's like 900,000 pages.
Almost 1,000 pages. There.
Give or take a few. So. Yeah. Well, this should be fun. So, yep. So anyway, send us the questions and go in the meantime, go check out the hours and times, and we'll be back with our next episode, which will be answering your questions. So we look forward to it, and we'll talk to you then.